communicate openly. And here again, those are differences between men and women. Women have no problem communicating, whether it's by the spoken word, written word, and so forth. Guys, we like to keep it short and to the point. But sometimes that means wife has to do a little prodding. But give them opportunities, give your husband opportunities to lead, to keep them moving in the right direction. You know, you've done this so far, and that's great. Let's see if we can go a little bit further. So you be the wife, you be the teacher, you be the cheerleader that they need to keep moving and by communicating with them. Number 6, be a positive force. So lift up their spirits through enthusiasm and encouragement. We all need enthusiasm and encouragement. Now again, as we look back at some of the earlier points, we have successes in our marriage. We have areas that we need to work on. But take those successes as an opportunity to encourage your mate to keep moving forward. Don't be critical because they forgot to do something or fell backwards in terms of their responsibilities, but just encourage them in such a way that you can honor them and honor their being your teammate. Number 7, show respect. Great teammates are coachable. Okay, anybody who's played in a sport, you've got a coach. I can tell you stories about coaches that aren't very nice, but on the other hand, a coachable person has what we call a teachable spirit. In other words, you're kind of set in your ways, and here comes this husband, here comes your wife, and they want to show you a different way or a better way to do something. And, you know, there's a certain amount of accountability that takes place there. And sometimes that respect shows up in listening to them. Because here again, husbands don't say a whole lot. So when they do start talking, be a good listener. Be on time. You know, that's a problem for a lot of folks. You know, my dad, when I was growing up, if I told him to pick me up from practice at 11:30, he would leave home at 11:30. And it just always bothered me that way. So one time I told him, pick me up at 11:15. Guess what? He showed up at 11:15. He's like, where were you? Well, you know, you try to work it both ways. But when you've got an appointment, you know, the rule of thumb they say is be 5 minutes early. Because if you're on time, you're really late. And have a good attitude. In other words, listen to him, work through some things that you need to make him the better person that you want him to be, and have a good attitude about it. Number 8, be reliable. Okay? Best teammates can always be counted on. And one of the best teammates can earn respect through their consistency. So if you're trying to get your husband to be on time, ladies, be on time yourself and be consistent about it. You know, because things we like to do sometimes are like, well, you were late the other day. You know, and so we start picking away at each other, and that's never good. So be reliable. Number 9, be competent. In other words, expand their understanding to be more knowledgeable of what they have and how they can help their teammates. And really, there were two things that I thought about right away when I talked about competency, and that's reading God's word and praying. And that works for both of you. To have a time to read God's word, to have a time to pray, and that way you can get to know that person a lot better. Know them the way God knows them. And then number 10, be highly competitive. Now, we're still teammates, but at the same time, we're going to push each other towards continual improvement. Now, my wife and I compete. we play words with friends. And I won't tell you who's won the most games or anything, because that's not important, because she does. But sometimes it's just fun to see who can get a task done quicker than something else. Or, you know, you came up with this word, so I'm going to try to do better than what you had for that game and so forth. So be competitive in a friendly manner and work together towards that goal. Now, that's just part one. Okay, I know you're looking at the clock and you say, oh, he's almost 15 minutes. No, we're just getting started. Because when I have a Mother's Day or a Father's Day message, I'm piecing together things. It's not like we're going through James chapter 5. We'll get back to that next Sunday. Okay, but today, moving on to the things that we can do, be the cheerleader he needs to encourage him. I'm going to give you 8 points. So you had 10 points about being teammates. This is directed specifically at wives to help your husband. So the first one is pray. A praying wife is a husband's best friend. John 15:5 says, without me, ye can do nothing. So bring it before the Lord. If there's something in your husband's life that is a problem, a discouragement, a burden, bring it to the Lord. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. So when I think of a praying wife, and by the way, the movie that we're going to watch, the War Room, is based on the idea of prayer and how important prayer is in life. So you're going to hear it today. You're going to hear it next Sunday. You're going to hear it in the movie that we have. So maybe there's, you know, the Lord's trying to get your attention. But when you pray, ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Help me to know what my husband's needs are if I don't know already. Help me to have courage to approach him and say, here's an area that I've seen. Here's something I'm concerned about. How can I help you? Pray for grace, that you would help your husband through a difficult time. And then fourthly, pray for strength. Because it's always, we always think about, you know, how's he going to respond when I speak to him about this? Will he take it nicely or will he get upset? Pray for wisdom, courage, grace, and strength to help you when you go through those times of prayer. Secondly, have realistic expectations. What is the best way to follow Jesus as a couple? Well, one is what you're doing this morning, church attendance. The other one, and that may or may not apply to you, is pointing your children to Jesus. Now, your children, grown up, I'm assuming. But what about the next generation? What about your grandchildren? And so we need to pray for our grandchildren that they would be saved. Use discernment in determining what your husband can do and how you can help. Now, this next point is a long one. But here again, this is aimed towards wives. So husbands, this is your day. Relax. So we're talking to your wife today. Thirdly, protect your heart. Galatians 6:1 says, consider yourself, lest thou also be tempted. It's tough being a wife. Now, I don't know, but I've got a wife over here, and she often reminds me, you know, it's not easy. Because there are a lot of things that are on a woman's mind or on a wife's mind that us guys don't know about, think about, and so that's why we're talking to wives today. Think about things like pride. Are you doing better than your husband? Are you achieving these things? Do you have a job, you know, that a job that pays better than your husband? Or are you doing things that might put him in a lower position than you are. Entitlement. Do you feel like God owes you? Come on, Lord. You know, I've been doing this. You know, what can you give me as a reward for what I've done? Apathy. Have you grown cold or uncaring? Or are you just going through the motions? You know, a lot of us, especially when we were working 5 days a week, you go through the motions. You know, and by the time you get to Friday and you're kind of tired, it's like, you know, I've done this job so many times, I could mail it in and get it done. Or I could do this job with 5 hours of sleep and nobody would know the difference. And we've all been through that sort of thing. But don't become apathetic toward your marriage and just thinking, well, he'll always be there. I'm not worried about him. But you need to be careful. Manipulation. Sex, cleaning, spending to change your husband. We have to be careful that we don't let other things into our lives that would cause us to think differently. There's so many things out in the world that would make us think differently about our marriage or about our husband. Be careful of those things. Bitterness. Whether you resent or maybe in some cases dream of not being with him. I remember some years ago there was a song by Glenn Campbell. What was it called? The Everyday Housewife. And how she her husband goes off to work and then she thinks about what she could have been or that other guy she could have married and so forth. You know, get that out of your mind, because the devil will use bitterness to mess up your marriage. Don't withhold good and don't punish actively or passively. In other words, I know my husband likes this meal, so I'm going to give him something else that he doesn't like. You got to be careful. Disrespect. Are you sharp with your words in private, or do you tear them down in public? Now, I have to mention, too, sometimes guys do that, too. You know, and it goes back to when we were growing up, you know, when we were in school and so forth, and we'd say something that we thought was funny, and I was just kidding. But your wife doesn't take it that way. And you can be sure you'll find out about it pretty quick. And it also works the same way for husbands. Husbands, you know, want to be honored, want to be praised. But if you cut him down in front of your friends, it's going to make a difference and not in a positive way. Coveting, comparing him to other men. Why can't he be like Markles? Or why can't he be like Craig? Well, I'm not either one. But at the same time, you know, you just, you know, be thankful for the husband that you have and work with the husband that you got. Adultery. Be too close to someone else or be humble enough to be seduced. And I'm always reminded of that verse in the Bible that says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Because there's a lot of things that we talked about here under protecting your heart that the devil can use and wedge his way into your physical relationship, your spiritual relationship, and all of a sudden you've got a problem and you don't even know how it got there. Okay, number 4, encourage him. Now, I know we mentioned those things as being teammates, but here again, for you as a wife, encourage your husband. Ask God to show you ways to encourage him. You know, even if it's something as, can you help me put the dishes away? Or could you put this in the washer? Or just small things, you know, and see if your husband will take the hint and help you out. And then when he does help you out, encourage him. Okay? So it's like, thank you for helping me, dear. By the way, here's some cookies that I just baked for you. You get the idea. We all work the same way. Number 5, examine yourself. In other words, are you being helpful or unhelpful to your husband? Or are you making his leadership difficult or enjoyable? So we need to kind of examine ourselves. We as teachers, whenever we finish a school year, we kind of reflect back on the year that we taught before and we say, what could I do different? What could I do better? So for you as a wife, think about what you can do differently or what you can do better that will benefit your husband and benefit your marriage. Number six, gently prod him. Maybe you could invite him to use his evening differently. Now, if it's, you know, watching ball game or something like that, you might be up against something. But a lot of nights there's nothing on TV. So it's a nice quiet night at home. And you might say something like, I think I'm going to do some reading and praying. And maybe you could join me if you would like to. Or I thought we could read scripture with the kids after dinner. Do you have any suggestions as to what we could read? Or, I think God wants us to share our faith with our neighbors. What do you think about having them over for dinner? One pastor that we were under talked about half-gallon fellowship, where you just take a half-gallon of ice cream, go over, visit some folks, or have them to your house, and just that half-gallon of ice cream, you know, $3-$4, can be a good opportunity to share the gospel with someone or some family. And then lastly, value, perspective, and perseverance. Keep looking to Jesus and pleading with him to help grow your husband's faith. And as you do, your faith will grow as well. So as you're studying God's word and you're praying and you're trying to help your husband do the same, it will benefit both of you. After all, your teammates. So because you're focused on the glory of Jesus and not the grief of your circumstances, you'll mature in prayer, find joy in the Lord, and deepen your dependence on him. Now, I've got two things here before I finish up. Okay, so I can give you the final statement here. And then I'll go ahead and read this other item that I have. So, bottom line, after all of this that we've talked about today, you don't have to go it alone. Sometimes we think, what can I do? I've tried everything. We've been married 18 years and look how far we've gotten. But you can pray. You can seek counsel from godly friends, your pastor. Or, as it says, give of your best to the master, and he will bless your efforts. So you don't want to give up, but you want to keep moving forward. Now, this last item that I have is really for the guys, but it works for both husband and wife, to know what a husband thinks and to pray for him in that way. This is a quote called Man in the Arena. It was a quotation from Theodore Roosevelt. And I think in some respects speaks somewhat of a man in his work. It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. So, cheer your teammate on. Give the best to your master, and see if you can be the mate that you ought to be for his honor and glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord,